Well, the David McNary row just won't go away for the troubled Ulster Unionist Party. Mr McNary has quit the UUP's assembly group after being carpeted by leader Tom Elliott. His offence was a Belfast Telegraph interview about unionist talks between the UUP and the DUP. These talks had the full blessing of Mr Elliott. So what has David McNary done wrong? Well, he's up the ante again. In an article for today's newsletter, he argues that unionist unity with the DUP is the only rational way forward for his party. And he says the two parties could offer a joint unionist programme at election time and operate in the Assembly as a single political designation. He's also written an article for the Belfast Telegraph vowing to keep on speaking out. He's with us this morning. David, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
What's gone on here, David? How are you feeling today about this?
Well, I think let me put some things into perspective. I haven't really wanted to be making the headlines. I'm not really concerned about me when you put it into perspective, Stephen, what I hear on your programme about sick babies, about the economy and dissidents, job losses and vulnerable families. They're all more important to me. And, you know, can I tell you and your listeners, later this morning I'll be doing what I get involved in. I'll be talking to my staff about the family that they've been meeting who were evicted after 15 years in their home. After that, I'm then going to, in the afternoon, I'll be meeting an education board official about the future of a football club with 200 junior kids under threat. That's what this MLA, and I'm sure all my other colleagues, actually do. That's our work, and that's the kind of stuff that I'd rather be involved in. And quite frankly, sometimes it does amaze me, making these headlines for these reasons, it's very difficult to attract the media on those stories about the football club, or about the family that are going to be made homeless in a couple of days' time.
David, that's a good speech at the top of the programme this morning.
Well, thank you for allowing me to make it.
But here's the reality. You're writing in two newspapers today. You're at war with your party leader. Your party colleagues, I've spoken to some of them on the radio. They're not exactly backing you. So there's a major fallout with your own party, the Ulster Unionist Party, which you care about dearly. Are you going to get out?
How do you mean get out?
Leave it.
Well, I'm a member of the party. I've taken this step. I didn't think I was given any other choice. If somebody sacks me sacks me on their way driving down to a meeting using a hands-free mobile phone in their car and tells me that they're getting rid of me, I couldn't stay in a group that would act like that and would show so little respect to a long-standing member.
What did Tom Elliott say to you when he phoned you?
It's quite an amazing phone call. Some of your listeners might be surprised that I smoke, but when he phoned me, I'd left my mobile phone in my car. And when I was out in the garage having a smoke, the phone was ringing. My car was locked and I couldn't get in. So I went and got the keys, and it was Tom, and I phoned him back. I apologised to him for not answering the phone because I had been smoking. And we had a good joke about he was thinking of taking up smoking. And I was advising him not to be so silly. And we had a chat, as we would normally have had chats. And then wham, bang, and he hit me with this.
What did he say?
He said that he would not be, he was taking me out of the deputy chair of the committee. I asked him, I said, Tom, could you repeat that for me? And he repeated it. And I said to him, well, look, you won't be having the opportunity to take me out of anything. I'm telling you now that I'm resigning from the group immediately forthright.
And what did he say?
Well, he answered, oh, no, don't be doing that type of thing. I think part of the problem is Tom doesn't really know what he's doing. I think this whole issue of leadership, very regrettably, has got beyond him. And he's quite a people's person until he does something like this. But I'm very convinced that Tom was under very severe and serious pressure because earlier that day I was hearing people, I was hearing from your colleagues in the BBC telling me that what was going to happen to me was my head was to be demanded on a platter, and I would give my head on this platter for the sake of protecting the leader, and this would be a magnanimous gesture by me. And I honestly didn't believe it, and the reporter from the BBC I was speaking to, I said, your head's cut. Sorry to use so many heads. Bear in mind that on that day, people were receiving a letter from Tom about the talks, which very clearly identified that I had a role in those, contrary to what he had been saying, and that there had been them. And I think his problem is he's in a state of denial. But I'm not going anywhere with him now.
When you say, and we'll talk about the talks in a moment or two, when you say Tom doesn't really know what he is doing, this is the leader of your party you're talking about.
It is.
In what way do you question his ability?
I question his ability in that what has happened to me is a prime example of how he is unable to deal with things rationally. And I think what's happened with Tom, basically, is that he's tried to be all things to all men. We are a very diverse group in the Ulster Unionist Assembly Party.
Hold on a second, David. He's being a leader. You step out of line, he gets rid of you. He's showing leadership. He's tough, and he's telling you, and he's telling the rest of the party, he won't be messed with.
Well, it took him quite a long time from the article appearing to him actually doing anything. You know, 5 or 6 days passed before he did anything. And, you know, he talks about discipline. I'm not going to go into other people's misdemeanours. Let's just concentrate on me. But someone who's been loyal to him, someone who would have been at his shoulder, someone whom he told would have said that he relied on, he does this, and yet, you know, he doesn't do anything else.
Loyalty is a very personal thing.
It is, yes.
Are you hurt by this?
I'm very hurt by it. You know, I'm a big fella, Stephen, and I suppose sometimes, you know, I'm not meant to have feelings. But I feel deeply betrayed by it. I actually feel as if I've been abused, because this whole thing runs through your family. It actually hits those that are closest to you.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, it's my wife and my children and my family have to go to the shops. I have to circulate. Have to socialise a lot more than I do.
Well, here's what doesn't add up. You show Tom Elliott loyalty because you believe in him. And then, you know, maybe you're just huffing. But then, after this happens, you say he doesn't know what he's doing. Now, to not know what he's doing is a suggestion that you do not have any confidence in his ability across the board.
If Tom's listening to this and other senior members are listening to this,
I dare say they will be.
It will come as no surprise, because Tom is well aware of my criticism to him personally and to others in his company of his dithering.
Dithering about what?
And that was all said in the context then of, you're new to this job, you're a young man, you'll need to get your feet under the table for longer, etc. The problem with Tom was, as I said, and it's being revealed now on a daily basis, that Tom was trying to satisfy other elements in the party. And he was trying to do that by not telling his party what he was doing.
What other elements?
Well, other elements in the party who obviously, in the assembly group, who obviously, in my opinion, put him under such pressure that he couldn't withstand them, and he sacked me. And they know who they are, and Tom knows who they are.
Where does this leave the party? Do you think he can remain as leader of the party?
That's something for down the line, Stephen.
Well, you say he doesn't really know what he's doing. So for those people that have voted for you, that believe in you, you're telling them the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party doesn't know what he's doing.
That's right.
So it's a pretty straight question. Do you think he should be the leader of your party, or do you think he should step down?
As far as I'm concerned, he shouldn't.
He shouldn't
what?
As far
as I'm concerned, what he's done to me, the manner in which he has done it, has displayed a part of his personality, which in my opinion rules him out for leadership. You see, you asked me about who are these other people, and I'm obviously not going to know names, but I know what I was doing in the talks. I know I was part of a hand-picked panel of four by Tom, including Tom, to go into these discussions. I know I actually initiated those last summer with Tom's knowledge and blessing. But what I don't know is how many other groups Tom has scattered around the place. I do know that apart from the talks panel I was on, Tom put together what was called then his kitchen cabinet. He chose a team of seven plus himself to discuss all the issues, to help him with his leadership. And where he needed advice, obviously for people to be up front.
What has it been like, David McNary, behind the scenes? Give me a sense. And look, you are biased because you're hurt, you're a wounded animal, and therefore, you know, it is fair for me to point out, and we've asked Tom Elliott if he wants to come onto this programme to defend himself, and it'll be very, very interesting indeed if the leader wants to defend himself against what people are hearing across Northern Ireland this morning.
Well, that's fair enough, because all I've been doing since this story broke in the manner it did, has been defending myself. I have been defending my honour and my integrity, and that has been put on the line by Tom. And he has no grounds to do that.
I want to talk about the talks in a second or two, but I want to get an understanding from your point of view as to what the party has been saying to Tom Elliott, because you say that you and others have been making your views clear to him about him. So what have you been saying about his qualities as leader and how he has been performing? And have others been saying this within your party to him too?
I don't know about others, but I have identified the inner cabinet. And I've got to say that all seven in that inner cabinet, that it was called, were aware of the four-person panel that set out and was engaged in talking to the DUP. So this whole thing about, you know, this is a big surprise to some people. And I've got to say also, Stephen, to those who feel it has been a surprise, who feel they didn't know anything about it.
Who are these other people, David McNary?
If they felt... Yeah,
it's easy for you just to throw it out and say, oh, there was a panel of four. Who are they? You can stand over what you're saying this morning...
stand over what I'm saying this morning, all right, Stephen.
There is no reason... There is no reason why you shouldn't tell the public who those people are.
Well, the reason for it is that I'm not going to do that just as of yet.
So it's a drip-drip?
Well, it's not necessarily drip-drip. But I actually haven't read the article, and I know headlines don't always tell the story, but the headline in yesterday's newsletter is Elliot McNally on a flight of fancy. So if there's drip drip, and as I say, I haven't read that article, I'm on no flight of fancy. I have been accused in the early stages of this of exaggerating, of being in fantasy land. I have the information that will back up where I am, but I've also got to be very clear. Other people were involved in this from another party, and we all met in good faith. And it would not be for me, to be honest, quite right at all, to be naming names.
So you're never going to name the names?
Pardon?
So you're never going to name the names?
Well, never's a never. I was always told you never say never, but invariably you do. So if the occasion arises, if it's appropriate, yes, I will. But I will only name the names if people haven't figured out yet, and Tom in particular has decided to come clean to the people that he's talking to now. These notes will not be used unless someone represents or misrepresents the discussions. Tom has seemed to be from day one when he couldn't handle what was breaking, that he was not at meetings. Well, my notes will show very clearly that if he persists, that he's suffering from acute memory loss.
So you are saying that Tom was with you at these meetings?
Yes.
Talking to members of in the DUP about what?
Talking to them ostensibly about ways of the two parties cooperating in the future and in the near future.
And Tom Elliott was sitting beside you in these meetings?
Yes.
And what was the outcome of those meetings?
Well, the outcome to date is that they're ongoing. And I trust because I believe so passionately. You know, I actually, in a small way, but only in a very small way, contributed to the peace process that we now see working in front of us. It's not perfect, but it's an awful lot better than what it was.
What was on the table, David? Because this is very important, isn't it? For Northern Ireland, and you will agree with that. If the Ulster Unionist Party is having these talks and the leader's saying one thing, you're saying the other, Tom Elliott has an opportunity this morning on this programme and he will be given as much time and space as you have. So it's up to him.
Well,
and people can read into it whatever way they like if he doesn't want to come on. That's up to the public to decide.
Okay.
But tell me this, David.
Was
the Ulster Unionist Party talking about coexistence? Were they talking about cooperation in the Assembly? Or what was the framework behind these talks?
That basically was the basis. I put it this way. I remember when I first met Sammy Wilson last summer, just to kickstart it as a capitalist. I said, Sammy, you and I can bounce things off each other, but really at the end of the day, there's no point in one unionist knocking 10 bells out of another unionist. And I'm quite clear, Sammy, from what I heard from the elected knocking the doors at the election and since, the cry from the unionist elected is, when are you going to get together? And I think that's what the unionist population want
what does
to
get,
see.
What does get together mean, David?
There must
what does
be
it
a
mean?
Big reason why substantial numbers and thousands of unionist voters are staying away from the polls. And I think coming together could bring them out.
But what does get together mean?
Well, working together, and you've got to accept that in this process, you've got to get over certain normal tensions would be, normal challenges, are these people sincere, certain tests that people would apply to see, yes, we can keep going.
What type of test? Give us a sense. What type of test?
I was satisfied that the DUP were genuine in terms of they would work with us toward improving cooperation, first of all, in the Assembly and in the committees. I've got to say that I was always mindful of having to apply those tests. But as things materialised, as those tests were being applied, and as we were getting close to having some real decision-taking, I was conscious that Tom Elliott was failing those tests, because I didn't see that he actually was genuine.
Now, what does that mean?
And that worried me.
What does that mean?
Well, you've heard what I've said, Stephen.
Well, but David, this is really important. He was not genuine in what way?
He was not genuine in terms of the two unionist parties coming together at cooperation level.
He must have been. He must have been, David. He must have been. He was sitting, you claim, at your shoulder in these talks. Now, if he was there, it's because he wanted it to happen.
That's very true. But also, he was then talking to me after those meetings, when those meetings were over.
So are you suggesting he was saying one thing to the DUP and another behind their back?
I could see a change in his thinking as it actually came, and this is part of his problem, as it actually came to making some concrete decisions.
Well,
I want to make it very, very clear. David McNary and no other Ulster Unionist was there looking for a merger with the DUP or one party with, you know, coming out of the two Unionist parties. I was there protecting and working for the separate identities, the brands, the badges of the two parties.
So it was never, was it ever discussed that Tom Elliott would be prepared to serve under Peter Robinson?
No. And I'm unlikely just to go and support another football team because things have got a bit rough.
But you've been dumped.
Through my membership of the party, when people left it to join Vanguard, to join the Alliance Party, to join the Conservative Party, to join the DUP. And I have remained an Ulster Unionist. That's where my heart is.
But why not put your Unionist unity money where your mouth is and join the DUP? Why not?
Well, that wouldn't really bring about Unionist unity, Stephen. All that would mean is that I have jumped ship. And I don't jump ship. My heart is in the Ulster Unionist Party. And the opportunities for the two Unionist parties that lie ahead are immense. I don't know whether these talks will continue. I really hope they will. Because the opportunities are there to take advantage of.
But you say, David, that your heart is in the UUP. And listen to this morning. Some people will interpret this as the UUP imploding. A senior member of the UUP, David McNary, saying his leader, Tom Elliott, doesn't know what he's doing, saying that he dithers.
Well, I'm...
Where's your loyalty to the party?
I have a reputation for telling it as it is. If people don't heed what I've been... Well, people, first of all, haven't been heeding, been agreeing, certainly, but not heeding or doing anything about what I've been saying for some time now. And if they don't do anything about it, well, then that's entirely up to them.
Are you suggesting that there are senior members of the Ulster Unionist Party who agree with your assessment of Tom Elliott?
Yes.
Are there many?
Yes.
Would they be in the majority?
In terms of senior members?
Yes.
Yes.
So you're suggesting this morning that Tom Elliott does not have the support and confidence of the majority of the senior members of the Ulster Unionist Party?
Not to the same extent that I have it, and I've told you. And people react in different ways. It's quite possible that the Ulster Unionist Party will organise a photo call today or Monday, and they'll have all MLAs and senior people around Tom and they'll all be smiling. That's all it would be a photo.
Do you know, David, I'll say this to you. It's really easy for you to throw these attacks at Tom Elliott. What is more difficult and what would be more substantive is that if you at any stage are prepared to name the people who you claim do not support Tom Elliott.
Well, it hasn't been easy for me to be put in a position to defend myself. And that's what I have been doing, has been defending myself. Now, some people might have different angles on integrity and honour. I have my own standards, and I am protecting my position over being sacked.
Who do you think should be leader of the Ulster Unionist Party?
I'm not even going there, and I understand you're doing your job, Stephen. I'm not going there. Let's see what materialises.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think what will happen, and it will happen because this is what parties do. In that there'll be more disinformation and bad mouthing circulated, briefed about me, David McNary, and the party will close ranks. And anybody that wants to be a hypocrite, they'll get their photograph taken. But it is quite amazing what people say to you in private, and say to me in private, and then actually do in public.
Have you had many calls and messages of support from senior members of the UUP over the last 24, 48 hours?
Since Friday?
Yes.
Yeah. The amazing thing is that we're talking about senior members. I don't think that they know what a senior member is, because they didn't know that Tom was going to sack me and make the call on Friday evening. That's what they've told me, anyhow.
What do you think of your replacement, Mike Nesbitt?
What about him?
What do you think of him?
Well, he's going to education. Good luck to him. It's a difficult task.
Do you think he'll be good at it?
Well, I don't know whether he'll be good at it or not, but time will tell. But he's ambitious and he can read a brief.
Do you think he's a future leader of your party?
I'm not going down that road at all.
Would he be one of your friends and confidants?
I've found that friends, true friends, Stephen, would not have done to me what a true friend would do, or would not have been part of it. So friends is a pretty weary word for me at the moment.
And final question, David McNary. It's difficult for me because we're doing this down a telephone line in terms of I can't see into your eyes this morning.
I wished you could.
There are some people suggesting that you sound quite emotional.
I've been wronged against Stephen. I've been accused in the wrong. And I've been set up to satisfy some very voracious appetites to get rid of me. And I am going to defend myself against that and hold my head up high. But I haven't done anything wrong. This is politics. It's a very, very dirty game. I've experienced that level of it now. But you pick yourself up and you dust yourself down, as I have.
The final question, David, what do you say publicly? Because there's no doubt, if he's not listening, he will go back and listen to this interview. What do you say publicly to Tom Elliott this morning?
My message to Tom is, think this through. And when you're ready to tell the truth, tell it.